In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Conference. It's great to be with you as always. And we always begin our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many titles. Mary is known as the Mother of God, her greatest title. Mary is also known as the Mother of the Church, Mater Ecclesiae, proclaimed by Vatican II. Mary is also, in a very personal, tender, intimate way, Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. We can have great confidence in Mary at all times, in all places. For that reason, we cry out to Mary in the Hail, Holy Queen. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's lift our hearts, our minds, our souls to Mary as we say the prayer that she loves most, and that is the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director, that is, the Holy Spirit. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. We know that the Holy Spirit also, like Mary, has many names. The Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as the Counselor. He's the one that gives us good advice. He's also known as the Consoler. In the midst of our tribulation, he's there to give us consolation. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Interior Master. That's right. St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. Let's beg the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us a lot of light, an interior fire of love to burn within our hearts, as we say. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, never shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. We're also celebrating, as you know, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This we celebrate this whole week called the Octave of Easter. And then Sunday, which is right around the corner, we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday. Tomorrow we'll have a mini retreat in the morning in English, in the afternoon in Spanish, to prepare ourselves to celebrate this glorious solemnity of Divine Mercy. So after we pray together as a family, in our perseverance family, that's what we're called, then to encourage all of you, I offer my prayers. So today in the masses I'll celebrate, I will be placing you on the altar. That's right, I'll place you on the altar in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And by far the greatest of all prayers that we can offer to the Eternal Father, to the Blessed Trinity, the greatest of all prayers is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We worship God the Father by the offering of God the Son. And through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the dynamic of the Holy Mass. We're praising God the Father. We offer Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, but also through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to offer these intentions. First intention will be, I'd like to pray for the grace or fruit that Saint Ignatius says we should beg for when we contemplate the Lord who rose from the dead. And the fruit is, as we say it in the Spanish, intensísimo gozo. We pray that we have the most intense joy, an overflowing joy. That's what we want to be begging for. The most intense joy. And the reason for this joy is because of our deep faith, our deep belief that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ truly is risen from the dead. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Christ is truly risen. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. So I'd like to pray that you would experience a lot of joy this whole week, leading up to Divine Mercy Sunday, which should be an infinite source of joy for all of us because we can start a new life. Right, Divine Mercy Sunday, we can start a new life. We can be born again through the church and through the sacramental life. My second intention I'd like to offer for all of you I'd like to pray for your family members. The family that prays together, stays together. Most especially, I'd like to pray for your family members that have walked away from God, that they've decided to abandon the church. They decided to live their own life. They've severed or cut themselves off from the sacramental life. I'd like to pray that they would come back. That's right, that they would come back to the church, come back to Jesus, the good shepherd of their souls. There's no sinner that is so bad, so to speak, that he cannot receive God's mercy. Quite the contrary. Where sin abounds, the mercy of God abounds all the more. My third intention will be to continue to pray for world peace. That Pope Francis and his consecration of Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary on March 25th, which was the solemnity of the Annunciation, that this consecration would have effect, would have a powerful effect on the life of those people in that war-torn country. So, my friends, those are our prayers. Those new members of our Perseverance family, we welcome you. And I'd like to make an announcement to all of you. A very important announcement is starting tomorrow, which is obviously Saturday, for the next 10 Saturdays in our Perseverance talk and conversation, I will be giving the spiritual exercises just on Saturday. And the reason behind this is that I've been working over the past few years with the Couples for Christ and Toffi Jetterein, who is the the head of the group in the United States, Canada, and South America. Last year he asked me to give the 10-week program and the consecration to Mary, which I did with great joy. So given that he's now responsible for the group in Canada, starting tomorrow at our Perseverance class, 7:30 to 8:30, I'll be giving the spiritual exercises to them. And many of you know my spiritual exercises program. I just finished 3 of them. 2 of them in English, St. Therese in Alhambra, St. Peter Chanel in Hawaiian Gardens, as well as St. John the Baptist in Baldwin Park. So I'll be starting another 10-week program. This will be online. It's online because it's going to be in another country in Canada starting tomorrow. So you'll notice that the next 10 Saturdays I will not be covering the readings for the day, but rather I'll be going through the 10 different Ignatian topics that I have in the program that I've composed about 17 years ago. So I invite you to join me as normal and to refresh your knowledge of the spiritual exercises of Saint Ignatius of Loyola. I'd like to also ask you to pray for them. Toffi now is in Canada encouraging them to make these spiritual exercises. Even before we left, we already had something like 1,200 people already registered for it. So we're dealing with sizable numbers of people that will join us to make these spiritual exercises. So just that you're aware of that, and if you would like to join us, you're more than welcome to join us for these spiritual exercises, which are doing so much good throughout the world. But I ask in a special way for your prayers that God would bless me as well as bless all those who will be engaged in this wonderful program. Give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. So, my friends, the readings today, once again, they're taken from the Acts of the Apostles. So we move out of the third chapter, we move into the fourth chapter, verse 1 to 12. Then we have Psalm 118, the antiphon is the stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. In the Gospel, we go to the last chapter of St. John. John chapter 21, where Jesus appears to the apostles already the third time, confirming them in their belief that Christ died, but also he rose from the dead. He died, but also he rose from the dead. So let's move into our readings. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you a summary of the first reading, and then the gospel is so very rich. And then we'll make mention of the eighth day of the novena of Divine Mercy. The eighth day of the novena of Divine Mercy. The eighth day of the novena of Divine Mercy. Which is a very important intention that all of us should take to heart. So, the Acts of the Apostles. After the crippled man had been cured, Peter and John are speaking to the people. Speaking to the people about God, speaking to the people about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, the Jewish high priests, the Sadducees, and the temple guard, they approach the apostles. And they were very, very perturbed by the fact that they were preaching the resurrection from the dead. So our Lord had already prophesied, he said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So they lay hands on Peter and John. And they put them into custody till the next day. It was already evening. But many of those people who were following what was happening started to follow the way of Christ even more. You remember we talked about this a couple of days ago. Peter preaches and you've got 3,000 that are convicted that Christ is truly the Son of God, risen from the dead, and 3,000 were baptized. Now it's going up to 5,000. Big number. So the following day, the high priest, Annas, and the high priest of the Jewish people, they bring Peter and John in to be questioned. And they ask them this simple question: by what power, or by what name, have you done this? Now, once again, it says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. I mentioned that the Acts of the Apostles is the gospel of the Holy Spirit. time and time again, you're going to see the presence of the Holy Spirit manifested in one way or another. Acts chapter 2, we saw Pentecost. The people were baptized and said they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now we have, the passage says that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter speaks with great conviction. The essence of what he's saying is that Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead. But he points out that this crippled man was healed. Not simply by human powers or the power of Peter or John or James or the apostles, but he was healed by the name of Jesus Christ. The power of the name of Jesus Christ. That's how he was healed. Then Peter ends his defense, his discourse, with great conviction, saying that the stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. Jesus was the stone that was rejected. And Peter says something worthy of our meditation. He says, there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are saved. Very, very clear, but very, very powerful words. Peter was saying to the high priest, and he's saying to us today, he's saying that salvation comes through one person, through one name. We can only be saved, my friends, by believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By believing in His name and by obeying His words, because not only do we have to believe in who Jesus Christ is, believe in His name, but also we have to obey what He says. Time and time again, our Lord in the Gospel will reiterate this idea. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So what are the messages that we can glean from this passage? The first is our renewed belief, as preached by Peter, that Jesus Christ, He was crucified, died, was buried, but Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead. And because He's risen from the dead, one day we will be raised from the dead and will be taken to Him, which is heaven. Second, that this will come about by placing our faith, our trust, our confidence in the name of Jesus, but also in striving to obey Christ and His word. And if we fail because of sin, let's get up and return to God, trusting in His infinite mercy. And the third point would be, we see Peter and John, because of their preaching of Christ, because of their healing of this crippled man, because of this, they are persecuted. They're placed in custody. And Jesus made this prophecy in what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That, my friends, I don't want to scare any of you. I don't believe in, you know, all using scare tactics, but in all honesty, if we are following Christ, then we will receive persecution in one way or another. But Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So even in the midst of persecution, we should rejoice because we know that we will receive the recompense. And the great recompense will be that we will be with the Lord in heaven for all eternity. Okay, Psalm 118, the first verse that we have in the responsorial psalm is the following. And it's, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, utilizing Ignatian spirituality, which I've imparted to you over these past couple years, I'm going to make a suggestion, and it's this. When you find yourself in a state of desolation, when you feel just an overall sadness or depression for whatever has happened in your life, you want to fight against this desolation. You want to fight against it. So, I would suggest, even though this is difficult, this is called the agere contra of St. Ignatius, to do the opposite, to go in the other direction. And it's this. When you find yourself in desolation, then thank God for three gifts that he's bestowed upon you. I know that when you're in desolation, you don't feel like doing that, but do it anyway. And it might be something you can maybe, something theological, something social, and something personal. Theological, thank God for the fact that you have faith. How many people are going through desolation? They don't have faith. Easily they can be led to despair. Social. Thank God for your social network. Certainly you have friends or relatives that care for you. Then personal. Thank God for at least one of the gifts that he's given to you. Now, if you do that, this is the psalm. Give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. I believe what's going to happen is that the desolation that you're going through, it will diminish in intensity and eventually it will disappear. The desolation that you're going through will diminish in intensity and eventually disappear. An analogy I can give to you is years ago I was in the airport in New Hampshire about to return to Los Angeles after spending some time in vacation. And I was in the airport, it was probably about 6:50 in the morning, or close to 7 o'clock. And there was a very, very dense fog. And I thought, we're never going to get off the ground. But the pilot voice reassured all of us, saying that we're going to leave on time. He said that dense fog will disappear. I was doubting. But what happened was the sun broke through the clouds, and then the mist disappeared instantaneously. And I use that as an analogy for our desolation. Sometimes a desolation seems like there's a dense cloud that's hovering over us. A dense, dark cloud that's hovering over us, almost suffocating us, which we feel we're never going to get out of this dense cloud. But the Son of God's grace can beam down upon us, and it can dissipate and disappear like the fog over that airport. So that's my comment on the response, the psalm that we have. Give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. Mercy endures forever. So his mercy endures forever. We're about to enter into, in a relatively short time, Divine Mercy Sunday. You having made your confession and receiving communion on Divine Mercy Sunday, all of your sins are forgiven, and the temporal punishment due to the sins is forgiven also. So for that reason, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, my friends, let's move to the gospel. The gospel for today is very, very inspiring. In this gospel, we're going to have once again Jesus appearing to his disciples already for the third time. So Jesus has told the disciples to go from Jerusalem to Galilee. So we have a group of the apostles that are together. They're there on the shore of Lake Galilee, and St. Peter, who's their leader, he says, I am going fishing. Then his disciples, the six with them, there are seven altogether, they say, we'll go with you. So the apostles, many of them were fishermen. They get in the boat. They get in their boat and they go into the Lake Galilee, also known as Tiberias. They go fishing. This was their profession. In a certain sense, what they're doing were doing was good, probably pleasing to God, because it's not a good idea to just to be sitting around being indolent and doing nothing. Indeed, idleness is the workshop of the devil. Idleness is the workshop of the devil. So Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Thomas, they're fishing. And they're fishing the whole night. The way that they would fish, they would have these nets, throw the nets in and trawl the nets and try to pull the fish into the nets. But that night was an exercise in futility. meaning they caught nothing. Almost as if they're wasting their time. So, as the sun is coming up, as the sun is rising, there on the shore is a man, and that man is Jesus Christ. He cries out, my friends, my little children, have you caught anything? And they say no. So he says, why don't you throw the nets on the other side of the boat? So Peter obeys the Lord. And up to this point, they don't know it's the Lord. It's just a man on the shore. But he obeys the word of God. How important it is for us to obey the word of God. And he throws his nets on the other side of the boat. Upon doing that, they caught so many fish. So many fish went into the net. But they could barely haul the net inside the boat. With that, St. John the Evangelist, the beloved disciple of Christ, he's the first one to recognize that that man on the shore is Jesus Christ. I call him Eagle-Eye John, the youngest and most pure of all the disciples, who is the best friend of Jesus Christ. St. John the Evangelist. So what does he do? He says, he's talking to Peter, it is the Lord. Peter now, full enthusiasm, He was not very well dressed, as you can imagine. He clothes himself and he throws himself into the water. He's so enthusiastic that he wants to meet the Lord. So he throws himself into the water. And the distance was about 100 yards, about a football field, about 100 yards from the shore. But Peter was so enthusiastic he couldn't wait. Whereas the others, they drew close to the shore by just being in the boat and with the huge catch of fish. It's interesting that they even counted the number of fish that day. They were 153 big fish. 153 big fish were caught. So as they arrive, none of them doubt that it's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He tells them, to bring the fish on shore, they bring, and Peter gets into the boat, and he hauls the fish to the ground, to the shore. Now, Jesus is carrying out a very beautiful gesture. What is he doing? There's a charcoal fire. A charcoal fire, and Jesus is preparing for them. Jesus is preparing for them a breakfast. So fish and bread is on the charcoal fire. And Jesus invites them to eat. And he gets up and he gives them the bread, and he gave it to them. And then he gives them fish. So St. John says that this was the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he had been risen from the dead. It's a beautiful passage. And I'd like to just unpack the many messages I think that we have for our own meditation. First point is Peter says, I am going fishing. I am going fishing. As I mentioned earlier, work is very good for all of us. That's right. Work is very good for all of us. Whereas laziness, idleness, is the workshop of the devil. Work is very good for us. Be it physical work, manual work, or mental work, working with the mind, or spiritual work, working with our souls, body, mind, and soul. They should all collaborate together. Second point is we notice that Peter is the leader of the group. We should pray that we have good leadership in the world. Leadership in companies, leadership in the parishes, leadership in the diocese, leadership in the church, leadership in families, leadership in the academic situation, leadership in our government. Many of these areas that I just mentioned, there's a real lack of leadership. And most are called to be sheep, and there are few shepherds. But let's pray that the shepherds that are called to tend the sheep would carry out their responsibility in honor of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, to his flock. Next point that I'd like to highlight is the following. They were fishing the whole night. They're fishing the whole night. However, we know this, that even though they're fishing the whole night, they caught absolutely nothing. They're fishing the whole night, they caught absolutely nothing. Why? Why did they catch absolutely nothing? You might say, well, the fish weren't biting. Okay, well, cut you some slack in that response, but let's go beyond that. Primary reason why they caught no fish is because Jesus was not in the boat with them. That's the reason. Jesus was not in the boat with them. And if we try to go fishing, now we are all called to be, remember when Jesus called the apostles and said, now I will be calling you, I'll be calling you to be fishers of men. That call to be fishers of men is also addressed to you and to me. Meaning that we're all called, my friends, to the apostolic labor of trying to save souls. The apostolic labor of trying to save souls. The harvest is rich and the labors are few. There are many fish in the sea that can be brought into the boat by dropping the nets. So for us, apostolically, it's the following. If we try to carry out a successful apostolate, a successful apostolate of trying to bring souls, the fish into the boat, so to speak. If we're not united to Christ, our efforts will all be in vain. That's right. If you like, John chapter 15, I am the vine and you're the branches. My Father will prune off, will prune away the dead branches and throw them into the fire. I've come that you have fruit and bring forth fruit in abundance. So the more deeply, intimately we're united with Christ, who's the vine and we're the branches, the more abundant apostolic fruit we are going to gather in. More fish are we going to be pulling into the boat. The next point is that they don't recognize Jesus again. The other day, the disciples on the road to Emmaus did not recognize Jesus. Mary Magdalene did not recognize Jesus. She thought he was a gardener. And for the third time, we have Jesus not being recognized, and this time even by the apostles. This gospel passage is for us. How often has it happened in our lives that we have failed to recognize Christ in our own lives? He's been with us, but we have been blind to recognizing Christ, and we've been deaf to hearing his voice. So let's beg for this grace, that we would be able to recognize Christ more fully in our daily lives. That we would not be blind or deaf to his presence. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. And with Bartimaeus, Lord, help me to see. Help me to see. Then Jesus, from the shore, says, throw your nets on the other side of the ship, the other side of the boat. And they obey the word of Christ. There's another message for us. Another message for us, my friends, is that we have to learn how to obey. That's right. We have to learn the importance of the virtue of obedience. How do we know that we truly love Christ? He says very clearly, if you love me, obey my commandments. Jesus says, not all those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but those who do the will of my heavenly Father. So they obey. And they cast their nets into the sea, and they catch so many fish. In that moment, John, the beloved disciple, recognizes that the man on the shore is Jesus Christ. John was the young, the purest. He was the best friend of Jesus. He's the one that was able to recognize Jesus first. Let's pray that we establish a deep friendship with Jesus like St. John the Evangelist. In the book In Sine Jesu, John the Evangelist is mentioned several times in the book as Jesus' best friend. We are called to enter into deep friendship with Christ. Peter, now aware of this, filled with enthusiasm, cannot wait. And he tucks in his garment, and Peter throws himself into the lake. He tucks in his garment. Little detail. The importance in our lives of the virtue of modesty. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that modesty is the guardian of chastity. So let's pray for modesty in our eyes, in our dress, in our wardrobe, in our attire, in the way we dress. Never forgetting the words of St. Paul that you are ambassadors of Christ. As ambassadors of Christ, we represent the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the ambassador of Christ. The ambassador of Christ. And I think we have to say this about Peter. Peter was so enthusiastic that Christ was on the shore that he couldn't wait. He threw himself into the sea and he swam. Now I think we should pray in honor of Peter's attitude that we would have a great enthusiasm. A great enthusiasm in encountering Christ. And this can be manifested, my friends, by getting up and making our holy hour. By enthusiastically getting out of bed on time and making our holy hour. That's an interpretation. It could also be enthusiasm in wanting to go to Mass, to encounter Christ in his word, but also in the bread of life. Then once they arrive on shore, the apostles in the boat, Peter who swam to shore, we see a beautiful gesture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There on the shore, he has a charcoal fire that he's prepared. And Jesus is preparing for his friends. They're his friends, and we're among them. He's preparing for his friends a nice breakfast. Don't forget that these men I've been working hard all night. So they've expended a lot of energy. So not only would they be tired, but they would be probably famished, probably be very, very hungry. So our Lord, aware of them being hungry, has prepared breakfast for them. And he says, take and eat. And he, Jesus himself, takes the bread and gives it to them. Takes the fish and he gives the fish to them. This is a very tender, kind, almost maternal gesture that Jesus is doing for his apostles, his friends, that he loves so very much. How can we interpret this? Well, Jesus is your friend, your faithful friend. And he wants to nourish you. How does he want to nourish you? He wants to nourish you in two ways. Give us this day our daily bread. He wants to nourish you by the bread of the word that we're breaking forth and explaining to you in our Perseverance family. He wants to nourish us by the word of God, by the Bible, nourishing our minds. But even more so, Jesus, who called himself the bread of life, he wants to nourish us on the Eucharist. So, my friends, it's a very, very, very beautiful passage. In final of Divine Mercy Novena today, the eighth day, is we're called to pray for the souls that are detained in purgatory. Let us pray for the souls in purgatory that day, today, tomorrow, and Mercy Sunday, many, many souls that are detained in purgatory will arrive at their eternal destiny, which is heaven. Let's ask Mary, the Mother of God, our Mother, and the Queen of the Souls in Purgatory for this grace. So let me give you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.